So if you have your Bibles today, I want you to turn with me over there to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 for our opening text. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. That's a challenge right there. Some people say that I'm very social. I say I'm very friendly. I believe that if you're going to have friends, then you must be friendly. Then it says later on in that verse, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And to me and to several other people that I've read, that friend who sticks closer than a brother is Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to look at your neighbor today and say, I have a friend. In John 15, verses 14 through 15, found in the New Testament, again, now we're going to speak about Jesus today in a great way and how appropriate it is to know that, you know, to put it simply, you know, Jesus is my BFF. Come on. Best friend forever. You know, I believe that. And I believe that Jesus is all our friends. I believe that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. It says here in verse 14 of John 15, which is a dynamic chapter, by the way. If you ever want to just sit down and read a chapter out of John 15 will expand your reality and your knowledge of how much you are important to God, or how important you are to God. And then also, how you must realize that without God, you're nothing. And then you can blow over there to Philippians and see that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It kind of puts it in perspective. You know many know people that walk around like, they make you feel, or they make God feel, that he's privileged to know them. I'll move on. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You see, if you study the word, you're going to find that God puts a lot of ifs after his statement. I'll bless you if you do this. I will bless you if you obey my commandments. But if you don't, there's an if there that is not good. And that's why we have to understand that Jesus is saying here, you're my friends if you do what I command you. So in other words, he's literally implying there that there's a relationship that he is setting the rules and the boundaries to. That he's not giving us the grace here to say, but I would like to renegotiate this a little bit. And I'm saying all that because I'm feeling the preacher coming on, just hit me. I'm going to say this to you, that because there's a lot of people sitting in churches today that want to do a Jacob with God. God does not play, let's make a deal. There's a lot of people that want to say to Jesus, you're my friend, but we're going to do it on this boundary. They may not be able to do this, but I can because you're my friend. Or those other folks in the church, they just don't have it like you and I have it, Jesus. Because you let me get away with more things than is necessary because we've worked it out. I've had people tell me that Jesus has worked some situations with them and it's okay. I've had people tell me that it's okay if they smoke marijuana because Jesus said it was all right. I'm thinking, when did you hear him? After the first bong or after like maybe 2 or 3 hours later? You know. They said, well, I'm going to tell you, it was after I smoked it a little bit. I said, well, there you got it, man.
I've had people tell me it's all right if I judge people because Jesus and I have a little thing working out here that I'm kind of standing in his place to make the rules. Let me tell you, it's whatever I command you. And when he says I command you, he's speaking that he is the word and he is placing the word in front of you and is saying, here is the rule book. It doesn't work that way, you know, when you kind of negotiate and do supplanting and making a deal with God and everything else like that. It just doesn't work like that. God wants to make a deal with you. Here's his deal. I'm giving you my son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended up into heaven. He's interceding for you. He has taken care of everything that I needed to be taken care of because of your sin, your ancestors' sin, Adam and Eve's sin. I am totally seeing you through the blood of Jesus Christ. The curtain of that blood is covering you. It's covering the multitude of sins. It's there. It's done. You've been rinsed. You've been cleansed. And here's the deal, God said. If you obey me, your life's going to be great. But you know, human beings, as we are, right? And if you're not, see me after service. But as we are, do you know that there is a distinct part of our character and our personality makeup that wants to negotiate? Okay, let's get some of you are just, I mean, some of you are looking at me like, what is he talking about today? Go be invisible at a car dealership. And when the car dealer comes up to you and says, you can have this car for $27,500, you will never see anybody go, great, where do I sign? I know one person went to a car dealership and they were going to buy a beautiful car. And the guy sat down and said, you can have this car for $26,000. And the husband was sitting there and said, I don't know. And the wife just started crying. By the end of the day, they got it for $21,000. The dealer said to the husband, he said, the only reason I gave you $21,000 is because I couldn't handle her crying any longer. You understand what I'm saying to you? There is a way to negotiate, okay? But God is not the one you want to negotiate with. He's the one that you want on your team. He's the one that sees tomorrow. Matter of fact, he's got your next year already waiting for you to get there. Praise God. And so he said, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. How many's ever read the book, the Bible? I've read it so many times, so many versions. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've read the Bible, and I love every time I read it. And everything's in there that God wants me to know. And everything that God spoke to Jesus is in that Bible. And when I read it, I get to hear what Jesus heard. I get to see what was produced by Jesus obeying the Father. I get to witness Lazarus coming out. I bet you something. You know what? I'm not a betting man because I'm a Church of God preacher, but I will bet you this. I bet you when Lazarus sat down, he looked at Jesus and said, thanks, friend. Matter of fact, Mary and Martha and Lazarus were friends with Jesus. I would imagine that Moses must have felt pretty good when in the historical writings in the Bible, in Exodus 33, when the Lord spoke it out and it was written that Moses met with God face to face and spoke to him as a friend. You see, we're living in a society today that friendship isn't understood. People don't even realize today what it is to have a good friend, a trusting friend, someone that you can tell anything to and they're going to love you anyway. Friendship has been tarnished throughout society. Friendship has been thrown to the side. Friendship is built on scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Friendship is built on what you can do for this and what you can do for that. I was watching a TV show the other day, just for a few moments. In my busy schedule, when I say a few moments, I'm walking through the living room, going into my office to do something else, or heading for the car to do something, and I happen to glance at the TV and it caught me. And it was a Steve Harvey show. Which, by the way, I think Steve Harvey is hilarious. But anyhow, Steve Harvey show. And there were two ladies there. And they were wanting their friendship back. Because they were supposedly best of friends. But some things happened. There was a death. There was a difficulty. And it broke their friendship. And they actually said they wanted to go beyond friendship. Because one said to the other, I don't want to be your friend because I want to be your sister. I want to be like family. You see. But see, there again, you're saying that friendship is pushed aside and family because bad. I want you to know, my wife and I, we have a family. And my wife and I, we are best friends. My children are my friend. My children can come to me and tell me anything about their life. Because they know I'm not going to just broadcast it on the internet. I'm not going to Facebook anything. I'm not going to Twitter something that's there. I'm not going to put a picture on Tumblr that everybody can see. You know they can speak to me. And they know it's important. Because to myself and to my wife, according to the Word, friendship is the purest and most necessary thing in a relationship that'll build that relationship where it'll be holy unto the Lord. Amen. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, I've got a friend. I saw some hopefulness in one of your eyes or two. You know, I got a friend. I hope. Let me tell you something, how important it is to know Jesus Christ. He literally shares everything with us. How many's ever read John 17? You and I are one, he said. Make them one, Father, as you and I are one. Make them one with us. Because I'm about to send them out into the world. You see, you and I have to understand, we were on this earth for a principle, destiny, and purpose. And we're here because God knew we were coming. Before mom and dad decided to have you, God knew you were coming. And when He put you on this earth, He breathed a soul into you. And that soul has a destiny and a purpose. Don't look at this message as something that Adams is preaching today. Look at this message as God is trying to say something for the future of your church and the future of your relationship with God and the future of your relationship with your family. There is a reason that you're here. And God knew you were coming. He had it set up. He's got your destiny there. And it's so important that He wants to be your friend through life. Amen. I've had people tell me they don't want friends. They can make it on their own. That's the devil. The devil wants to segregate and isolate. I don't need friends. Yes, you do. Praise God. Friendship is great. It's pure. It's wonderful. I like what it says in James 2 and 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Do you know when we sing that song, He calls me friend, I get really excited. I'd get a little bit more Pentecost around here, but I think some of you would get scared. But I'm just trying to tell you something right now, that I firmly believe that God is my friend. Amen. I believe that. I believe I can sit down on the steps right now and talk to Him and He will listen. Amen. Praise God. I believe my friend told me to speak this today to this church because of the future that's coming to this church. We need to show friends what it is to be friendly. The word friend is found 53 times in the Bible. The word friendly is found 3 times. The word friends is found 49 times, and the friendship appears twice. Friendship, it's a relationship between two people who are friends. You know, we have to look at that, and friends sometimes let one another down, but that does not mean they're not friends anymore. Friendship means that, let me back up. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me back up just a moment before I go on. I have to say this, because when I said it, sometimes friends let one another down, but it doesn't mean they're not friends anymore. And let me tell you something. You better start to think something here. You say, preacher, that's awful strong. You better start. I'll say it again. You better start to think something here. You better know something here. You let God down all the time. And he still calls you friend. Amen. What I love about Abraham was this, is that he was accounted unto righteousness because he believed God, that after God told him that he was going to have a baby when he was as good as dead. And you can down that road any way you want, but he was good as dead. She was not going to be able to receive because he was dead. She wasn't going to be able to receive because she was dead too. Are you with me?
Yep.
He gave Abraham that promise. 25 years later, it shows up. Some folks in church today, if they don't get their promise by the back door, they give up. Someone preach with me today. He calls me friend. He believed for 25 years. And Isaac showed up. Then God said, kill him. He never stopped believing because he said in Genesis 22, he said to the servants, stay here. The lad and I will go, but we will return. Amen. I may shout. I don't know, man. I'm just trying to tell you something. That there is a God in heaven that's speaking into the hearts of people today, saying, I want to be your friend. Believe me, I can handle your healing. I can handle your poverty. I can handle your situation. I can handle your depression. I can handle your fear. I can handle your futilities. I can handle your frustrations. I am God, and I am all you need. Amen. Some people want to have every friend in the world. That's why Facebook is so popular. You can be friends without even knowing them. What a world we live in. You follow people on Twitter, you don't even know what you're following. I mean, the answer to get a lot of followers and on Twitter is to follow a lot of people. Test it if you don't believe me. Just go out and get you a Twitter account. Put your name up there and wait. You can Twitter all day long. But once you start following, people start following you. And before you know it, you got 2,375 followers. And do you know them personally? No, you don't. Jesus does not need a Twitter account. As a matter of fact, Jesus did not send you an invitation on Facebook to be your friend. He did not even send somebody to your Twitter account to suggest and Facebook account to suggest somebody else so they could have more friends too. The whole thing about the social network is to get people together And I believe if the Christian body would get together, they could use that social network to win souls to the kingdom. But we better not write some strong stuff on there because somebody may criticize us. Well, that's something I'll preach on in a few minutes. But I want you to understand something, that you have got a friend. And you know, look at your neighbor and say, I've got a friend. Next time the devil comes to you and starts giving you all sorts of consideration how bad you are, what a failure you are, you'll never get healed. You're losing your job. You're done. That's it. You're over. You know, somebody buy the gravestone now. It's done. Look at that devil right in the face. Wherever it is, wherever he's at, and say, I've got a friend. I have got a friend. Next time somebody starts criticizing you, starts depleting your personality to a group of other people, and starts to make you feel like you're not as important as everybody else, call them on the phone, get them on Facebook, put it in the screaming caps, I got a friend in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. I got a friend, David, 13, 14 years old, maybe. Oh, let's make him 15. Let's not make it too young, but let's not get him up there to where he was a little older. Let's say 15. He faces a giant that's 10 feet tall, 9-foot spear. Big dude. Courageous. Bold. Got a whole army hiding. The king's hiding. He's in the tent. He's freaking out. He says, David, take my armor. David tries it on to be respectful. Takes it off. Said, this one won't work. I got my own. He goes out there. That Goliath looks at David. Starts giving him trouble. You know what? We can say it scripturally here if you want me to. But I'm going to tell you right now. I'm just going to sum it up. He looked at Goliath and said, I got a friend. I got a friend. Goliath may have said, who is, where is he? He said, well, you'll see him in a minute. Bam! I got a friend. We have to understand that you and I, no matter what struggles we go through, and no matter how deep our difficulties are, and how our valleys are so deep and dark, and we're in a valley of decision, and we're just freaking out. We scream, where is God? Friend, he is there with you. He's in the darkest valley. He's in the highest mountain. He's in the deepest waters. He is there with you. He is your friend. He calls you friend. Hallelujah. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Do you know why a sinner doesn't have a friend in Jesus? Even though he's a friend of sinners? I'll read that to you in a minute. They reject his friendship because they don't want to be like Jesus. They don't want to hang with him. They don't want to do it. He wants to be friends. They don't want to be friends with him. They'd rather do things that are sinful, offensive, hurtful. I think people sit in church to think that they got a friend in Jesus, but they are so ungodly with their lips, destroying people with words that are hurtful and degrading. I think gossip was created in hell. I think seeds of discord came off a plant that grew in hell. I think scoffing is the devil's language to take someone and discourage them. I tell you who's not your friend today, and that's the devil. He does not like you.
He wants to destroy you. There are people by the sound of my voice that you once had a vision, but the devil came and took it. You had a vision, and in come the devil. Now let me tell you something. That vision's not gone. You just gave up, but God never gave up on you. You got a friend. Amen. You got a friend in Jesus. Praise God. That's a marvelous thing that we have to understand. The Bible says that indeed there is a friend who is better than a brother. Such a friend is Jesus. This one particular one found in Luke 7:34, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. You say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yes, he was. He went into the homes. What we do is we only want to do this. We want to come to church and we want to be introverted. You ought to hang out with me sometimes. I am not introverted. I talk to people everywhere. They know who I am. They know I'm a Christian. Praise God. Amen. I tell them about Jesus. Because Jesus is my friend. He's not a blind date with pimples. He's my friend. He's not the person you say, they're really got a great personality. He's Jesus. We can take everything to him in prayer, and all our griefs that we bear, all our disconcerted thoughts get thrown aside, and he is there to listen, to comfort, to feel, to heal, to prosper, and to give into our life all that we can contain to the overflow. Yes. Am I preaching for you today, or should I just stand here? I'm just trying to tell you that there is a God in heaven that is reaching through me today. Get this picture. He's got his hand out and he's saying, let's shake. Let's be friends. Let's understand that he's saying, I can do something for you that no one else can. That I can bless you. I can help you. I can turn fear into faith. Failure into success. Frustration into encouragement. I can take your life and make it whole. I can draw your ministry out of the depths of despair into the heights of passion for my glory. I can call you friend because I will show you everything and I will give you everything and you will be to me a son and a daughter. You say, preacher, I don't even know if I'm a son or a daughter. Every day the Holy Ghost bears witness to you and I, Romans 8, that we are the sons and the daughters of a living God. You say, well, preacher, I haven't heard that. Fix your ear. He's speaking. Listen. He's a God who created you and loves you, and he's not a false friend. He's not like Pharaoh's butler was to Joseph. When I get up there, I'll make sure the Pharaoh knows all about you. Thank you. No, no. The only way that Joseph got out of prison is because Pharaoh had another dream. He's not the false friend like Delilah was to Samson. And too many people today are sleeping in Delilah's lap. Just hanging out there. The lust of this world has captured them.
just kind of there. Do you know how bad television's getting, by the way? Do you understand that pornography is coming on all the time on television? Do you understand the language and the innuendos that are used and the statements that are made and those things which are addressed and embraced are coming across the TV as it's okay with God? I'm here to tell you it's not okay. God wants us to be holy, to walk with Him, to obey Him, to come out from amongst them so I can go back to John 17, because He wants to send us into the world, and He wants to walk into this world with us, because we got a friend. I'm here to serve notice on the devil today. Hope for the Bay's got a friend.
Amen.
We've got a friend.
Amen.
David was a terrible friend to Uriah, wouldn't you think? Took his wife and killed him. That's not a good friend. But I see that in church too. Taking what is good to one and then destroying the relationship with words. Are you with me? You know, see, we have to understand that what we have to do is, do you know who else wasn't a good friend? I don't think Judas Iscariot was a good friend of Jesus, do you? He's that friend that we have in church today to come up and hug you. Give you a little kiss on the cheek, say, how good you looking. In their mind, they're saying, you stink, man. You look terrible. Why are you here today? But see, God wants us to be such people that we have such a grace with Him and such an anointing with Him and such a relationship with Him that there doesn't matter what goes on, we have got a friend. Dr. John Nichols, tremendous man of God. One of my mentors growing in the ministry, has gone on to be with the Lord. I had the opportunity to have Dr. John Nichols as my mentor just for a year. And it would have been, if it would have been 10 minutes, I would have been satisfied. This is what he said to me. He handed me thousands and thousands of dollars in a check one day in Cleveland, Tennessee. Handed it to me. Man, I mean, I'm sitting in a chair, and I would have fallen on the floor if we didn't have a chair. I said, Dr. Nichols, I'm weeping. I don't know what to say to you. What can I ever do for you, for what you just did for the poor through me? He said, I want you to do anything. He said, but I want you to do one thing. I don't want you to do anything, but I want you to do one thing. I said, what's that? He said, be my friend. He taught me what friendship is. Be my friend. I called him one time. I said, Dr. Nichols, I just need to talk to you. He said, I want you to tell you something right up front right now. Here's something I want you to never forget. I said, what's that, Dr. Nichols? He said, call me John. I said, no, Dr. Nichols. He said, please call me John. I said, okay, John, Dr. Nichols. He said, don't ever count on man. Count on God. I'll tell you something. I'm giving to you what He gave to me. Man will fail you. God's friendship never will. I'm here to tell you today, and every devil that's listening in the atmosphere above this church, we got a friend.
Yeah.
He calls us friend. I like what it says here in Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord. Same as what a friend we have in Jesus. Take it all to Him in prayer. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He's our sustainer. You have a need today? You got a friend. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got a friend. Don't be afraid to say it if you got a friend. If you don't have a friend, I want to introduce you to Jesus today.
If you're not obeying Him, if you're not living for Him, you've got to get your life squared away and right with Him. You've got to do this. You've got to understand that He's got a rule book that is full of good things. He will bless you. He will keep you. He will anoint you. He will draw you out of the miry clay. He'll set you upon a rock. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He calls you His friend. He calls you a son and a daughter. He has called you into ministry. He has called you into a function in life that only He could give you. He has brought the miraculous by healing you. Has anybody ever been healed here? Did He send you a bill? Praise God. No, He did not, because He paid with those stripes on His back by the cat of nine tails that our diseases would be healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did He send you a bill for the sinful life that you led? My God, He would have bankrupt heaven if you were the only person on this earth. He would have died on that cross and shed that precious pure blood for you, rose on that third day in a bodily resurrection, and then ascended before nearly 500 witnesses. He would have been standing and still is standing next to the Father in glory. He is finished. There is no more sacrifice, none at all needed. We are free. We've got a friend. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He continues to work in us till the day of the Lord. Philippians 1 and 6. That's what a friend does. You see, we're in a society today that friends only stay with you for so long. Then they'll hurt you. Or maybe you hurt them. You didn't mean to. Or maybe you did. But they all of a sudden throw you aside because it just happened. I'm not going to tolerate that stuff. How many's ever been hurt by somebody? Here's your friendship back to them. Forgive them and move forward with them. Friendship is a gift from God. Amen. It's a reality that God has given us in our life that we have that's tangible. He's forever interceding for us. He died and rose for us. And to literally be His friend is simply obey Him. What do you want me to do today, Jesus? How do you want me to act? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to portray you today in this day that I'm living? How is it that I can say something for you? He had me scream your name out. I've never done that in a graduation in my life. My wife will tell you, I have never screamed like that. Believe it, I'm more like this in a pub, but when I'm in a graduation, I'm just like this. They went all dead silent. Dead silent. The whole place was dead silent. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost says, scream it out. I'm going, no. Scream it out. So I put the hands to the thing. My voice already traveled. You know I don't use my phone. I preach out in the street. I don't use a microphone. Way to go, Becky! I wanted... The Lord said this to me after I did that. Because I said, God, why did you have me do that? He said, I wanted her to hear she has a friend. Amen. Amen. I wanted her to know she's got a friend. Amen. There's moments in our life, friend, that you and I are walking. And if you'll be real, as I'm being real with you, if you'll be real and understand, there are times when you are walking in life and you just would wish someone would shout out to you. You wish somebody would reach out to be your friend. You need that moment of friendship. Come on, does anybody understand what I'm saying? You need that moment of friendship. The year you had last year, with that individual who decided to tell you you were nothing, you had a friend. Jesus. And I want to tell you, you are everything to Him.
Right.
Got a friend. I tell you, but I love this verse here, and I'm going to close. John 15 and 13, before 14 and 15, 13, kind of kicks it all off. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Secret Service, they get paid for that. They'll stop a bullet. Stop a president from being killed. Or a dignitary. People get hired as bodyguards just for that purpose. Big money. But every day they may die. Jesus didn't get paid a cent. He came for one reason. He loved you and I. We're his friend. We're his friend. I think best friend and BFF and all the other stuff is great terminologies. I think it's funny and I think it's wonderful. I think Facebook is wonderful. I do. I think it's great. I think they ought to get some of that stuff off of there that's on there and some of those people to cuss and use bad language and show guns and show pornographic pictures and it's just sickening. They need to get it off of there. They need to filter that stuff out and praise God. I hope they do. And hear my heart on that. You say, well, preacher, that's, yeah, come on. I said, I'm going to tell you, your kids are looking at that. Your kids are looking at that. If I had kids that were old enough for me to do this to, I'd get their Facebook account. I'd see who they're talking to, what kind of language they're listening to, what kind of pictures are there. I'd kill that account in a minute. Because I'm a friend of my kids. See, a friend will help. Some of you looking at me saying, I'm glad you're not my dad. You ought to be glad I'm not your dad. And I'm not saying that disparagingly toward any other father here. Don't misunderstand that. I'm just saying that I guard that. I think it's amazing. Why do you think on Twitter accounts, when you go on there to follow someone, you got to be approved by that person on some of them? You know why? Because they don't want you to know what they're really saying. So you don't get approved. I never get approved on those. I go, okay, I'm fine. I know them. I never get approved. And I don't take offense at it. I just know they don't want me to see them cussing. Or telling everybody what they really believe on Twitter, but in church they believe in Jesus. Hello? My closing today, I remember that song deeply last night. And I asked Eva to put that together just in the last minute and put it up on there to get it all together. They did the best they could in the few minutes they had. And I applaud that. It was wonderful. But what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to you, all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory, bright unclouded there, will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus wants to be your friend. He's called you friend. God is a friend of mine. There are too many songs we sing that are just words on a screen. We need to sing like we know we believe it. Amen. If there's one, I would say this would be the one to do, is that I've got a friend in God. Or what a friend we have in Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that every, you know, I'm free to dance and free to run. You know, if you had a crowd this big all of a sudden start dancing and running, we may have to call the paramedics. I don't know. But what I'm trying to tell you is that there are songs that you need to feel in your heart that's real, that's alive, and it's full of power and full of God. And that is this, that we have a friend in Jesus. Every day I pray. Every day. Every night I pray. I know he's listening. I've got a key to get into the throne of grace. You know what that key is? In the name of Jesus. You know, all your boys are here. Can I tell you, boys, that every day that I call your name out specifically before God, every day, sometimes in the middle of the night, I'm up outside calling out your name, Will, calling out Benito's name, calling out Andrew's name, calling out Alex's name, calling your name out before them. I call out Logan and Brandon and Madison. I call out Amelia. I call out Mark and Matthew and Miriam and Rebecca. Did I do it?
Yep. Woo!
I call out Miracle's name. I call out Susanna's name. I call out Courtney's name. I call out Thomas's name. I call out Kevin's name. You say, preacher, you don't do that. Yeah, I call out Amanda's name. I call out Judah's name. You don't do that, preacher. Oh, yes, I do. Why? I'm your friend. I'm telling my friend Jesus to bless your children, to keep no evil shall befall them, and no plague shall come near their dwelling. I call it Psalm 91, blessing upon your life. Psalm 121, encouragement and undergirding upon your life. Well, I didn't ask you to do that. Well, I know you didn't, but Jesus did. He said, he's my friend if I obey him. Friends love each other and help each other. The way that Jesus' disciples reciprocate to the friendship he showed them is by doing what he asked them. We have been called a friend of God, each and every one of us. We show our friendship by obeying God. Amen. I don't tell you I pray to brag. I tell you that I pray because you know someone's praying. This old world out there will do all it can to destroy you, take you down. And right now, it may look like the world's winning, but I've got something to say. I got a friend.